Good afternoon. It's 6 minutes past 12 midday. This is the Man in Line on Manx Radio, live from Douglas, Isle of Man. Your chance to have your say on issues at the moment, or just to get something off your chest. You do it by calling 66 1368. Email studio at manxradio.com or text 166177. So, we've had 13,044 tests on the Isle of Man for COVID-19. 13,038 have been concluded, so 6 people waiting for a result, and currently 51 people awaiting a test. And more, of course, today at 4 o'clock this afternoon, we've got the Chief Minister on Manx Radio, live on Manx Radio, live on YouTube as well, and on Facebook, and you can hear everything. We'll also have the questions from the journalists on Manx Radio today, just to see what the update is regarding COVID-19. And just a few more updates I need to give you as well. One is, do you remember the people who couldn't listen to Manx Radio on smart speakers? It was a dispute with a company called TuneIn, which is based in Silicon Valley in California. A UK trial court recently held that TuneIn, this company, was infringing copyrights owned by record companies Sony Music and Warner, and they were basically limited the radio stations that could be on smart speakers via TuneIn to the, those that were only licensed in the UK, ones not in the UK, hence people like Manx Radio and radio stations in the Channel Islands were zapped out of it. That's still going through the court at the moment. It's still being contested. And hopefully soon, if you're listening to Manx Radio in the UK, you should be able to get us on smart speaker soon, because everything we've submitted, the fact that we pay lots and lots of intellectual property money to UK agencies, and we also subscribe to audience research conducted via a UK company as well. So basically, it is coming. And if you're in places outside the UK, I know we have people listening on the Iberian Peninsula. Expat Manx is in the sunshine, listening in Portugal and Spain. If you can't hear us, can you tell us? So if your smart speaker's not working, we'd just like to know, just to see, to make sure all that works. Anyway, protecting existing jobs and creating new ones. Treasury Minister Alfred Cannon launched the economic recovery parcel yesterday, hoping that new measures designed to boost the economy will achieve the object of protecting existing jobs and getting new jobs. The impact of the coronavirus pandemic continues to be felt. They've put in £500,000 as an events fund. They've also put in an acceleration of the national broadband plan and new work placements, all been announced by the government. You get all the details at manxradio.com, by the way. And, of course, tomorrow, Alfred Cannon will be live on the Man in Line, so you can speak to the Treasury Minister, have your say, and put a question direct to him. But he spoke to Ewan Gawne.
So the Economic Recovery Group has been set up. We are putting money into schemes, both from a training perspective, everything from cybersecurity courses to mental health courses. They've been given an uplift. We put £900,000 into University College to help sustain those courses. We've created new opportunities for graduates to actually go across and train in university degree courses. And we are also making direct investment into schemes that are going to create opportunities for the workforce in the short to medium term. And thinking about the longer term, we're going to have a very specific project that looks to our future. We're investing now in high-speed fibre broadband rollout. We've reduced that from 5 to 4. In fact, the bulk of that now will take place hopefully in 3-year period, because we've put another £1.4 million into that. We're going to continue to invest in projects that we think will help shape the island's future as well.
Now, just harking back to something I asked you in the conference there, do you see that the private sector is going to be taking up most of the job opportunities here and offering more job opportunities in partnership with government rather than government employing people itself?
We have got a reserve option. If unemployment levels go beyond 1,500, start heading up towards 2,000 people, there is always an option for government to bring about specific schemes. And if we get into real crisis point, and as I said, this crisis globally has got some way to run yet, so we shouldn't be complacent, although we're encouraged. Our key focus is about the private sector, is about people's jobs employment.
So what's the benefit economy, as opposed to the public there?
So it's much better now to keep that going. We don't want to grow the public sector because that's just more costs. There's more costs for a taxpayer.
And no, it has grown.
Clearly, it has grown in the last few years, but we don't want to be seeking to actively grow it at the moment because I think it's actually much, much more beneficial, much more productive. There's a lot of people outside of government, you know, who are very worried about their futures, worried about their jobs, worried about their businesses. We've got to focus on really getting support out there as much as possible, the frameworks as well to access money and you know, give them, I hope, a stable platform for the future once this pandemic starts to ease and we start to get these borders open and business back to some sort of normality.
Well, we'll hear from Mr. Cannon himself tomorrow, and if you have any specific questions you'd like to put to Alfred Cannon, many ways of getting them to him. Tomorrow you can call live, 66 13 68. You can email, and you can text as well. But in the meantime, if you want to get a question down, you can email maninline@manxradio.com. That will be put on the list. And also you can call the answer phone on 682 631. So thoughts about what you think the government... I mean, Mr. Cannon mentioned 1,500 unemployed. Now we're just above or just below 1,000, depending on which figures you look at, which historically is a lot for the Isle of Man. We were down to 200 before COVID broke in March this year, and now we are around 1,000. So 1,500 is what they're looking at. Obviously, they have plans. There are things that the government will be looking at that aren't in the public arena. But if you have any thoughts and any questions that you'd like answered by Mr. Cannon, then you can get in touch. A note in from Gary, by the way. Gary in sunny Cleveleys on the Fylde Coast. I listen every day, and it is working. That's Alexa, smart speaker, not using TuneIn, but using your own skill and judgment via Alexa. You're circumventing the technology. Thanks for you as well. Interesting point now is that the 2020 fireworks display, the Douglas fireworks display, has been cancelled. Councillor Pitts, Stephen Pitts, has said that despite the committee's and the officers' persistent efforts, it's not proof possible to arrive at an acceptable solution for staging the display. This is because of Douglas Promenade redevelopment work. There will be no Douglas fireworks display this year. The council understands the decision will disappoint lots and lots of people. They considered alternative locations, but none proved suitable in terms of public safety and accessibility. So there will be no 2020 firework display on Douglas Promenade because of the work that is going on. Today is the first day of October. Did you notice? Have you changed your calendars around the house? It also means it's the start of the annual Stop Tova campaign. And of course, aside of COVID-19, you know, you may think that, well, giving up cigarettes or smoking a pipe is not that big a deal. But to many people it is. If you can go 28 days without smoking, you're four times more likely to stay off cigarettes for good. So not smoking for October, if you could not smoke for October, that would help you an awful lot. You have more money, you have better health. Short-term and long-term. The Isle of Man's Quit For You service has an 85% success rate working with those who want to quit smoking. Lauren McLaughlin is from the Public Health Isle of Man, and she runs the Stop Smoking service. Are you or someone you know looking to give up smoking?
Take a Breather was designed because literally we're asking workplaces to focus on their staffing areas, and encouraging workplaces to ask the staff to literally go and take a breather. So on their breaks, having breaks in outdoor areas that are smoke-free, their lunch sitting outside in smoke-free areas. So that's what we're doing this year.
Well, you mentioned staff areas and workplaces there. It's going to be smoke-free up at the hospital soon, isn't it? Tell us about that.
All hospital sites in the Isle of Man will become smoke-free as of the 1st of April 2021, which is next year, which is part of a bigger project to see the whole of the DHSC go smoke-free over the next couple of years. So it'll be in staged. So this is really exciting. And with workplaces, the Stoptober campaign this year is aiming at staff, employers looking after their staff.
So if someone is preparing to stop smoking, thinking about stop smoking, mm-hmm. what kind of preparations do they need to go through?
The first thing that I'm always going to say is contact the Quit For You service, because our advisors are specialists in there and they're here. People can contact the service just for a chat if they've just got queries, because a lot of people like to quit on their own. They don't generally need support and help. They just want to do it, and they just need a couple of things, you know, a bit of advice to get started. The first thing to do is to kind of write down the reasons why you're quitting. Think of all the reasons why you do need to quit or why you want to quit.
Have you had much interest this year in Stoptober? Have a lot of people got in contact?
We have. Our numbers are relatively high, but they've been high for the past few months, and I think that's in light of COVID. So people are much more health aware at the moment. It's been a big year for health, the changes, hasn't it? We've had a good response. I think generally people are generally thinking about their own health and kind of trying to do everything they can to keep themselves healthy. Unfortunately, as we know, smoking causes underlying health conditions, and it's the underlying health conditions that are making people so much more vulnerable to things like COVID-19 at the moment. So I think people are more aware, and so our uptake has been a lot higher.
I just wondered, have you given up smoking in the past 5 years or so, maybe 10 years? I'd love to know how you did it and whether or not it was as difficult as you thought it would be in the first place. Some people find it impossible to give up smoking. Some people just can't get past that not picking up a cigarette. And some people do it relatively easy. I just wonder what your thoughts are. By the way, if you want to get in touch with Quit For You, their telephone number is 642-404, 642-404. So the Take a Breather Stoptober campaign encourages smokers to take up the challenge just to quit smoking for October. Because if you can do it for more than 28 days, then it looks like you will be on the road. JK said, at Nobles Hospital, smoke-free, absolutely fantastic. When is it? It's disgusting having to pass the smokers and the smell of smoke in your face as you're near the front door. Thank you, Jake. I've always found it's supposed to be at Nobles Hospital. You have to smoke in that little shelter. But, of course, the moment you get from underneath the canopy, everybody lights up there as well. From the 1st of April next year, you'll have to go to Vagabonds to have a cigarette, I take it, because there will be nowhere on hospital premises, including the car park, apparently. You simply won't be able to smoke anywhere. If you're a smoker, and again, smoking isn't illegal, you can smoke. It's perfectly fine. It's a civil liberty. I just wonder how you feel as a smoker. Have you seen how much cigarettes cost these days, by the way? Adam's with us. Good afternoon, Adam.
Afternoon, Andy. You all right?
What's on your mind, Adam?
I'm ringing up about Save Douglas's Lights. We now have over 1,800 signatures online and hundreds more in the paper copy. And Mr. Christian appears to have released a statement to the media, which has been published on the 3FM website, in which he says that the lights, the festoon ferry lights, which ran the length of the promenade, have been relocated to the South Quay and to Sumhill Glen. And what I would like to know is, Sumhill Glen is not all that long, or not all that large, and the North Quay is not all that long, and I would like to know where the rest of the lights have gone. You know? Because if Douglas Promenade is 1.5 miles in length and the lights ran each side of the promenade, then they had some 3 miles of festoon ferry lights, which they took down. And I do not believe that all of those ferry lights can have been used in Sumhill Glen and North Quay.
What do you think can happen, though, now, Adam? Bearing in mind what Mr. Christian... And by the way, I've asked Mr. Christian to come on the Man in Line a few times... haven't yet had a response, just to talk about this. I mean, what do you expect will happen, bearing in mind that Douglas Council have taken the decision? They're democratically elected councillors. They've taken the decision, Mr. Christian said, 3 years ago, and it's going to happen next April. Do you really expect them to reverse it?
Well, if they've used, let's be generous and say they've used half a mile's worth of lights on North Quay, and another half a mile's worth of lights on Sumhill Glen. So let's be generous and say they've used 1.5 miles of lights in total on those two areas. Then they must have half of the original lights left, or 1.5 miles of lights left. and that is enough to span the length of the promenade. So, you know, if they haven't got them left, then what have they done with them?
So what do you think should happen?
Well, I think they should be put back up again, because they must have enough lights to go back up again.
Well, they can't do anything at the moment because the prom's being done up.
Well, they need to make a statement that they will put the lights back up again, because, as I say, unless they've got rid of them, unless they've sent them somewhere else or sold them or sent them to a scrapyard, they should have, if they've used a limited number of them on Summerhill Glen and North Quay, then they should theoretically have enough left to do the promenade.
But
on
I mean,
one side.
Adam, they've made a statement. The statement is that we're having new lights on Douglas Promenade.
Yeah, well, what the campaign is to get the festoon fairy lights put back again, and we want the festoon fairy lights strung up back again. If they're saying the lights, the new street lights, are only going on the one side of the promenade, on the seaward side of the promenade, then they can string the festoon fairy lights back up again to the lights on the seaward side of the promenade, which they are putting there, and restore the festoon fairy lights, which is what we are campaigning for.
Have you approached Douglas Council yourself?
Yes, I've approached Douglas Council. I had an email from Mr. Christian the other day saying that he was going to issue a press release, which obviously he did yesterday. And in this press release, he said that the lights had been relocated to Summerhill Glen and to North Quay. But what I'm saying is, where's the rest of them gone? You know, if they've used so many in Summerhill Glen, so many on North Quay, those two areas are not all that big. They can't have used more than 1.5 miles of festoon fairy lights. They had 3 miles of festoon fairy lights originally. What have they done with the rest of them?
So, now, bearing in mind nothing can be done until the promenade's finished, and then they'll have to turn the new lights on. If the new lights are turned on and they're absolutely fantastic, would you then insist that the old ones were put back up?
Well, I think, you know, we want the iconic festoon fairy lights back, but I think David Christian is burying his head in the sand with regards to the unpopularity of the new LED lights. I think we know, we can have a fairly safe bet that they won't be absolutely fantastic, and that you know, the festoon fairy lights are iconic of Douglas, and the subtle beauty of them cannot be replaced by brash LED lighting, which is what we've been saying all along. But I would just like a statement from Mr. Christian saying, either correcting me and saying that they have used all of the 3 miles worth of festoon fairy lights in Summerhill Glen and the North Quay, which I don't believe they can have done, or explaining where the rest of the lights have gone, because, you know, they've disappeared.
Well, the fairy lights saga will go on. You won't be happy until they're put back up, will you?
Well, no, because that's what we've been campaigning for. And as I say, there's 1,800 signatures now online of us campaigning, and there's another several hundred signatures have signed the paper copy of the petition, which finishes tomorrow. That's in the Creative Shop in Strand Street. And we want the lights put back.
All right. Thanks for calling us today, Adam.
Thank you.
Cheers. Good to talk to you, as always. 25 past 12, the man in line, through till 1 today. Lots of comment about smoking as well. I'd love to know how you gave up smoking. Was it a decision what basis would you give up smoking? Is it health? Is it money? And buying cigarettes now is very furtive, isn't it, compared to what it used to be? If you think 20-odd years ago, the amount of change there's been in the life, the society surrounding just going buying a packet of cigarettes, has changed enormously. Now, they need to get on top of smoking legislation, says David. I see lots of people going around smoking in work vans. So surely, if workplace smoking is going to be banned, if it's going to go, surely a van is part of a workplace, and therefore, if a company's banned smoking from their premises, then nobody should be allowed to smoke in their vans. A note in also said, crikey, is it a stop smoking emergency? Aren't there more serious things that have been prioritised for face-to-face appointments about this? Lots of people saying as well that the banning of smoking from the whole of hospital premises will be a good thing, simply because those people I hope the smoking ban at the hospital will include vapes, says this correspondent. I'm fed up of walking through clouds of blueberry blast. It offends the senses, says that correspondent. By the way, have you read today's Daily Mail? Apparently there's a story there that says the English government are planning to build asylum processing centres on the Isle of Man. You notice that as well? Thank you, Thelma, for pointing that out. And also, the BBC Isle of Man news website reports that a guy went into the Ramsey GP when he should have been isolating. The madness of people becomes more unbelievable by the day. John joins us now. Good afternoon, John.
Just one moment. Alexa, stop. Hi.
You're on, John.
Yeah. I rang the podiatry department to try and get an appointment to have my feet done, and the recorded message says, due to the epidemic, we are only doing ulcerated feet. I didn't think we'd have got an epidemic on the island at the moment.
Presumably that's just because of getting people in to do it. Is the podiatrist from across or from the island?
I don't think so. I had an appointment in August, and the guy was Canadian, and he said they were getting a new guy in from Ireland. But, you know, I didn't think that we'd got an epidemic now.
And where's the podiatry department? Is that
it's Kensington Road?
It is, yes, in the old Nobles Hospital, isn't it?
Yeah.
And is that part of the Kensington Group practice, or is it?
No. It's Department of Health.
Oh, it's the other side, isn't it? I know. Yeah. Yes, by where the emergency dentist is, isn't it?
There. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so and they're saying, are they saying you can have an appointment or not?
No.
Not at all.
Well, they're just saying that the only appointments that they're doing is if you've got an ulcer on your feet.
And did they say when it might change?
No, it's just a recorded message.
I wonder if anybody else has come across that.
No. So, you know, like I say, I didn't. I thought we were getting back to normal, supposedly.
Okay. All right, John.
And the other point, people are still staying in the outside lane coming down to Glencluttery Road. You know, the cycle lane is now gone.
Not what, for old time's sake?
Yeah, there must be. And then all of a sudden indicating to go into the inside lane to go left.
Oh, my word. Maybe they miss the old days.
Yeah. And, well, talking about the old days, I mean, Adam and his lights, festoon lights, is getting as bad as when Mars Jockin used to ring. I actually came off Manx Radio as soon as I heard him talking about his lights. I don't know how many other people are getting fed up with it.
Well, Adam thinks, I mean, and he's got 1,000 signatures, that it is a cause célèbre, that lots and lots of people are falling in behind this.
No, he's not going to win.
Okay, John. There, good to all talk right. to you. Thanks for that. Thanks for calling us today. There's a drop-in session today at Port St Mary Town Hall from 4 till 7.30. It's the third of three informal drop-in sessions for private landlords around the Isle of Man for this proposed change to legislation. You can discuss it with members of government. There's going to be political members and officers at Port St Mary Town Hall 4 till 7.30 today. This is following that public consultation exercise on the Landlord Registration Private Housing Bill, which closed in July. If you're a private landlord, you're encouraged to go to Port St Mary Town Hall today from 4 till 7. It's Thursday, of course. It is the 1st of October, and Thursday means it's Isle of Man Farmers Market Day today at St John's Church Hall until 3 today. There are fruit and veg and pies and cakes and bread and pickles and honey and beeswax products and crafts and art today, St John's Church Hall. And also tomorrow at Village Walk in Oncombe from 11 till 4, and Saturday at the Courthouse in Ramsey from 10 till 4. I've also got to say hi and well done to 8-year-old Dylan Walton, doing a sensational job, reached the half marathon point last night at the NSC. You can look at the Manx Radio Facebook page and just check out 8-year-old Dylan Walton. He is a giant of a human being. at 12:30 midday. The man in line on till 1 today.
It's okay to feel down sometimes. It's okay to be anxious and worried. And it's okay to get help when you do. We all need to talk about our mental health openly and honestly. Often talking's enough, but it can also be the first step to finding the right help and support. So if you're worried about someone, all you have to do is say three little words.
Are you okay?
Visit areyouok.gov.im for help and advice. And let's get talking.
Steam into Christmas with family and friends this festive season on the unique Isle of Man Railways dining car. Choose from our extensive winter events programme and journey through the Manx countryside on board the dining car for some sparkling festive fun. To get you into the Christmas spirit, book now by calling our Yuletide team on 697457 or visit rail.im and experience one of our festive train adventures.
When it comes to building and DIY supplies, shop where the professionals shop. Haldane Fisher for concrete blocks to roof trusses, timber to tiles, doors to panel pins, boilers to bathrooms, drainage to guttering, and everything in between. Get the job done with the right products from Haldane Fisher. Visit our stores in Douglas and Ramsey, or find us online on Facebook. Proud to be on Ireland.
Feel right at home with Haldane Fisher.
Attention, please. Attention, please. The Landlord's Registration Bill is coming, bringing more regulation, more red tape, more expense, as well as heavy fines for non-compliance. If this is something you want to avoid, or you want to sell up and move on, we can help. Prime Real Estate provides hands-free property management as well as property sales, releasing you from stress and hassle. Help is here. Call 616 707 and enjoy life. Prime Real Estate, 616 707.
Registration is now open for the Buchan School and King William's College. Come and discover how your child can enjoy the perfect start at the Buchan and then benefit from academic excellence to achieve their full potential at King William's College. With average class sizes of 13, superb extracurricular activities and individual support, it's an outstanding island education for your child's global future. So call 820110 to arrange your visit.
When you need a monument for your loved ones, contact T.E. Cubbon, a trusted family-run business for over 150 years. T.E. Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. For quality workmanship and a professional personal service tailored to your wishes, visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway, Douglas. Call 844-440. T.E. Cubbon. Here when you need us.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Good afternoon, Jill. How are we doing?
I'm fine, Andy. Thanks. How are you?
Oh, terrific. What a lovely day.
It is, isn't it? I thought I'd let you know, I was a smoker all my life and I could not give up. I had no willpower. But 3 years ago, I had a very bad session of bronchitis and I couldn't breathe. You know, I was coughing and I couldn't breathe, so I thought, this is no good. And I stopped smoking. I just stopped and I didn't want a cigarette.
How many did you smoke a day, Jill?
I used to smoke 25 to 30 a day and I've smoked since I was 14.
So I'm not going to ask how old you are, but how many years did you smoke for then?
Well, I'm 77 now, so you work it out. My brain's not awake yet.
Now, so what changed, Jill, from the fact you said you had no willpower? Was it purely bronchitis?
It was purely on health reasons. I couldn't breathe and I kept coughing and I thought, this is no good. You know, it's not. I'm not going to get rid of it unless I stop smoking, so I stopped smoking.
And how do you feel now?
I want one now and again, but I haven't had another cigarette since then. That's 3 years ago now.
You haven't had a single cigarette?
No. No. I think I was frightened.
So, Jill, I'm going to ask you the question everybody's thinking now, Jill. Why didn't you do it 20 years earlier?
Because I didn't get sick enough to do it. I had no willpower. I couldn't do it on my own. I tried patches. Didn't work. I used to smoke with a patch on my arm.
Well, we're very happy. We're very happy you are where you are, Jill.
I am too, because the price of them now, I couldn't afford to smoke.
How much? How much is it now? Is it £10 a packet?
I think they're heading for £10 a packet. £8 to £10. I don't know. I never look.
And how much were cigarettes when you started buying them?
They were up to £7 something a packet for 20.
Oh, wow.
And it took a lot of money, yeah.
So all right.
I'm glad I stopped.
All right, Jill. Well, thanks for calling us today. We're happy you did.
Thanks, Andy. Bye.
All right. Good to talk to you. Thank you. Here's Roger with us now. Good afternoon, Roger.
Good afternoon, Andy. Roger again. Different subject, different topic this time. Just my opportunity to have a little boast. Yeah, I gave up smoking come December 20 years ago.
And what was the reason? What was the motivation?
Well, I hadn't planned it. There wasn't a motivation. All it was, I remember clearly, I'd been out that day to Peel Golf Club, come back wet, hungry, tired, not feeling good, went to bed. When I woke up in the morning, I thought, well, I'd just gone like 10 hours. When the light went up, I thought, I'd just done 10 hours without a smoke. And I thought, well, if I do another 10, I've almost cracked the day, just to see if I could. I didn't tell anybody. I just did it. And come that evening, I'm sure I went to bed a bit earlier, but I thought, I give myself a target after doing one day to do 3 days, and then five, and then seven. And after seven, the cravings started to ease away, slow away. I didn't have them. And I remember in my previous life that somebody that had given up smoking said to me, drink a glass of water when you get a craving. And you know what? That really did work for me. Every time I got that craving, which became less and less and less, but when I got the craving, I'd take a glass of water, take a few deep breaths, and that craving went away.
How old were you when you started?
I was on and off. Like most people, I think, in my era, at the age of 16, 17, it was the male thing to do, the alpha male, to light a cigarette. We were full of adverts on TV and things, and so I was a teenager, then I stopped, then I started. I was an on-off, but then I sort of got really addicted, I guess, in my mid-early 30s, maybe for about 5 years, give or take. And it was after that time, it really was intense, and particularly in a pub. You know, the cigarette and a beer went together.
Do you remember actually enjoying smoking a cigarette?
Yes. Yeah. It was like at the end of maybe a difficult or a hard day, or I'd achieved something, and come the end of the day, it was like a little, like a reward to myself. So, yes, it was. I felt good if I showered, cleaned, went out, I don't know, to a pub or whatever, just had that first drink. And a cigarette then, yeah, it did taste good.
Do you ever speak to people, or do you ever meet people who are currently smoking who want to give up and simply can't?
I wouldn't like to preach to them. I am anti-smoking now. I've gone completely the opposite. I'd walk across the road at a smell of a cigarette. But I wouldn't like to advise people, but I'm certainly happy to share what I did, my experience. Like I said, there was lots on the market, chewing gum and things, I forget what they were called. But I just felt, just do it. And honestly, within the 7 days, let alone a month, within the 7 days, the thought, the habit, and that's another thing. It was, I didn't know what to do with my hands when I smoked.
Yeah,
it's getting out of the habit, getting out of the mannerisms, and once you crack that, I found it for me pretty straightforward. But I think, so like I said, I didn't tell anybody. I think when people pass around and I've stopped smoking. People, I think maybe because they feel guilty, they're constantly, or they were with my era, constantly offering you one, almost to push you to the limits. And I saw a lot of people break down, particularly...
Well, times have certainly changed, haven't they? If you imagine what things were like 30, 40, even 50 years ago, when if you could go back in a time machine, everywhere just stank of cigarette smoke.
Oh, 100%, yeah. I remember my mother, when I was a child, being prescribed cigarettes by the doctor for her nerves.
For nerves?
Yeah, I remember seeing my mum smoking on a couch, and I thought, what are you doing? And it was prescribed, I suppose, in the same way now as people are given some sort of medication to ease their tensions or nerves or whatever. But, yeah, she was... That's what she told me as a youngster, and I've never not believed it. But she was prescribed, told to smoke by the doctor. And I certainly do remember her smoking for a month or two. Not for long, but certainly she did.
All right. Thanks for calling us today, Roger.
All right. Take care.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for that. It's 18 minutes to one. Adam's back with us. Hello, Adam.
Hi, Randy. You're right. Hello?
Yes, Adam. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard someone a few minutes ago compare me to Marge Jochen, and I just wanted to say what a compliment that was. You know, that lovely old Manx lady who'd lived here her whole life and cared so much about the Isle of Man, and to be compared to her, I'm so flattered.
Jolly good. All right, thanks for calling us. It's 17 minutes to one on The Man in Light. Now, today... the Chief Minister's on. Manx Radio. 4 o'clock live on Manx Radio for a coronavirus update.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality Type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells with no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire. You.
Call Tell Skips today.
677-137.
One of the smartest things you'll do today is plan for tomorrow. Plan for tomorrow today.
Tiles, bathroom suites, showers and accessories all at down-to-earth prices. When you visit Paysetter, Harris Terrace Douglas. Luxury design at bargain prices.
One of the smartest things you'll do today.
Bran flakes, tech. Pizza, get stone baked, tech. Tomato soup, tech. Oh, and tuna, remember, must be drained, tech.
Now you can enjoy Sainsbury's famous quality and value all the way down your shopping list.
Tea bags, tech. Kitchen roll, ultra absorbent, tech.
The Buy Sainsbury's ranges are the store cupboard and everyday items you use daily and save on whenever you shop.
Big tick for that.
Buy Sainsbury's, only at ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
Aon is the island's commercial insurance broker of choice, providing businesses with risk solutions including buildings insurance, liability, professional indemnity and more. Aon combines expertise and full remote working ability with access to top insurance providers worldwide. Call 692-400 or search online for Aon Isle of Man. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
If a holiday is no longer on the cards for you this year, perhaps it's time to treat yourself another way. Redecorate your home with help from Swales Flooring in Laxey. Stocking trusted brands including Antico and Carr's Flooring, designed to last and impress. Swales are also the sole island distributor for Farrow and Boar, the traditional wallpaper and paint specialists. And if your home is already blessed with original wood flooring, talk to us about how we can restore them to their former glory. Visit the Swales showroom or call 861 542.
Reynolds & Reynolds, the newest name for quality pre-loved cars and vehicles on the Isle of Man. Reynolds & Reynolds have a stunning showroom conveniently located on the Isle of Man Business Park. Reynolds & Reynolds stock a fabulous range of affordable vehicles and also supply, service and repair most makes and models. Open 7 days a week. Go on, call in today and see some friendly faces at Reynolds & Reynolds Vehicle Sales or online at reynolds.im. Part exchange and finance available. This infomercial was brought to you by Bespoke Group.
This weekend here on Manx Radio, it's time to get your swimming costume on as we have another fantastic prize to give away. The hire of a hot tub for a weekend brought to your home by Hot Tub Hire Isle of Man.
To be in with a chance of winning, just listen out all day Saturday and Sunday to play our winning weekend wordplay. Get your name in the draw and we'll announce the winner on Monday morning's breakfast show at 10 to 9.
So join us this weekend as we jump into the bubbles here on the Nation Station.
This is the Isle of Man talking, the man in line.
14 minutes to one. Lots and lots and lots and lots of comment in today about cigarettes, but also somebody said, give it a rest with those lights, will you? Just move on with the lights. Everybody's got an opinion about the lights. Text, email or call. Gary said, come on, move on with these lights. This bloke is assuming everybody's against the new LED lights. It's going to be a modern promenade. Let's have some modern lights. This bloke and his festoon lighting on the Isle of Man needs to really get a life, says another correspondent as well. Get rid of the old, outdated lights. Will the smoking ban at Nobles apply to civil servants who go onto the balcony by the main entrance and light up? What a stupid thing to do. For you to advise people to smoke at Vagabond Sports Club. Dog ends galore and more litter. Obviously, that correspondent, Francis, a made-up name, is obviously a big rugby player. Hey, good afternoon, Tommy. How are we doing?
All right, Andy. I was just. Does anybody out there remember the spoof that Bob Newhart did about smoking, Andy?
Oh, my word.
Wasn't that brilliant? Walter Raleigh. And he came back, and the chap said to him, "Hey, what have you brought back this time, Walt?" And he said, "I brought some leaves back." "You brought some leaves back, Walt? And what do you do with these leaves, Walt? Don't tell me. You stick them in your ear. What? You put them in your mouth, Walt, and you set fire to them." And by this time, he's in fits of laughter, Andy. It was the best thing you've ever heard in your life.
Did you smoke, Tommy?
Never, never one cigarette ever, Andy. You know why?
Why?
Because I've got more than two brain cells, Andy.
Yeah, that's a bit judgmental, isn't it?
Well, it's stupid, isn't it? Listen, I suffered badly enough, Andy, because I had to go in the pubs playing darts and pool and all the rest of it. And I used to find it really, really bad. My eyes were streaming and everything. And I thought to myself, what are these people doing to themselves? You know, I mean, you know, it's absolutely that. And the government to blame, aren't they? Because it was the high tax they put on them. I mean, cigarettes would only be next to nothing, Andy, wouldn't they, without the government tax on them?
Well, and now, of course, all the governments are losing a fortune in that tobacco duty. And, of course... the rate of cancer's come right down because of that.
Well, that's a good thing, but it doesn't excuse anybody for a thing that I used to hate any from the very start.
All right, Tommy.
Cheers, bud.
Good to talk to you today. Thanks for... I think this guy's fighting a losing battle with the lights. We're gonna have to... let's see the new lights first. It's a move forward for the new promenade. Let's see the new lights first. And thanks in for Carrie, who said, what are the big planes that are flying around Ronald's Way? If you think you've seen a rather large aircraft above our island, you haven't imagined it. It's basically an Airbus A400M. Belonging to RAF 70 Squadron and specialises in transport. They're conducting training missions around the Isle of Man. But why the Isle of Man? Well, Squadron Leader Richard McFadden leads RAF 70 Squadron.
All elements of flying are to some degree, the skills are to some degree perishable. By that I mean we need to practice them regularly to make sure that we're always able to perform them correctly. One of those skills, and specifically the one that takes us to the Isle of Man and other civilian airports around the country, is procedural instrument flying. So the ability to fly the aeroplane in cloud in the civilian air traffic environment using legacy, to some extent, radio aids, navigational equipment on the ground to position the aeroplane correctly within those traffic patterns to make an approach and landing at an airport. That's something that's different in every location. We try and identify places like the Isle of Man where there is a degree of space and flexibility on the part of the airport management system.
And what type of aircraft? You mentioned the A400M, which is a big bird. Is that the only type that we'll be seeing around the island?
It's the only type that we fly on 70 Squadron, so I can't answer for the other aeroplanes at Rise Norton, but we also have here the A330 Voyager. That's our air-to-air refueling and air transport aeroplane. We have the C-17 Globemaster, which is a large strategic airlift aeroplane, bigger than the A400 by some degree. We also have the smaller C-130 Hercules, which you probably will have seen over the years, which is on its way out of service over the next 4 or 5 years or so. So you may well see all of those aeroplanes, but it's predominantly the A400 that we operate on 70 Squadron.
We're talking to Squadron Leader Richard McFadden, Squadron Leader of 70 Squadron. The squadron's been around for years, but recently reconstituted.
That's right, yeah. The squadron is a little over 100 years old. We celebrated our centenary in 2016. The squadron was born during the First World War and was originally a bomber squadron. It flew the SE-5A over the Western Front. And that continued throughout the First World War. And in the interwar years, the squadron was mainly based in the Middle East and North Africa, Mesopotamia, places like that. And that's kind of where it went through the Second World War as well, flying Wellingtons in predominantly North Africa, Egypt, Libya, etc. And then during the period after the Second World War, the squadron reformed as an air transport unit from a bomber unit, flying the Argosy for a long time, which was the C-130's predecessor. And then the aeroplane it flew for the longest period of time in its history was the C-130 Hercules, the original K model. And that was based at Lynham for about 40 years in total before the squadron stood down in 2010 when the C-130K went out of service. And then the squadron was reformed in 2014 here at Bryce Norton with the A400M.
What sort of stuff have you been involved with regard to humanitarian relief?
Yeah, so most recently we were involved with some humanitarian relief work in Africa, in Mozambique. But before that, we went to Jakarta in Indonesia, and we based there for about a month in support of the relief effort that happened after the big earthquake in Palu, north of Jakarta. And then previous to that, we played a major role in the UK government's response to the Hurricane Irma that hit the British Virgin Islands quite badly in 2017.
Will you be bringing the A400M to a rest on Ronald's Way runway? Will you be landing or just doing exercises around Ronald's Way?
For the most part, exercises around, so approaches to the airfield, but generally speaking, we won't land there. And that's for a number of reasons, really. We don't need to. The actual act of landing the aeroplane can be practiced at any runway, really. It doesn't make a massive amount of difference. We try and limit the amount of wear and tear on the aeroplanes, and cost plays an element of that as well. So we'll do what we need to do at the civilian airports around the country, but only what we need to do.
Richard McFadden, the squadron leader of 70 Squadron, the one that will be with the converted Airbus for A400M zooming around Ronald's Way. So if you see an enormous plane, that's what it's all about, training for 70 Squadron. A note in from Laura who said, can you tell me, you've mentioned the recompense, the money that's being given to accommodation and to hotels. How much money do they actually get? Well, the support, financial support for travel and tourism businesses have been extended for the winter month. It goes on till March 31st next year, and it varies from four-star hotel rooms, they get about £13 per room per night, down to glamping pods, which get £4. It goes through various types of guest accommodation, guest house, B&B, serviced accommodation, self-catering units, hostels, and glamping. So maximum is £13 per room for a four-star hotel room. Guest accommodation is £11.50, guest house is £7.50, B&B is £7.50, serviced accommodation £6, self-catering £7.50, hostel £6, glamping is £4. That's the sort of money that is being paid from public funds to help keep the hospitality sector going. And, of course, tomorrow we'll be speaking to Alfred Cannon to see exactly where we stand. And, of course, this afternoon, Chief Minister will be live on Manx Radio with a coronavirus update. You can watch Manx Radio's YouTube channel and on Facebook as well. Kevin said, listening to Adam talking about resistance to change regarding lights on the prom, it's probably a similar controversy when they changed from gas to electric lights about a century ago. Gas lights, lovely. Change is inevitable. The old incandescent lamps were banned by the EU anyway. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern today. The Man in Line is back tomorrow with the Treasury Minister, Alfred Cannon, live at 12 midday on Manx Radio tomorrow. And don't forget, next Thursday, a week today, we'll be live with the students of King William's College, live in Castletown.
WINT